Good morning and welcome to worship at the Church of Conscious Harmony. It's great to see each of you here. Thank you for making the choice to be here on this beautiful Sunday morning. You all had an extra hour to get here, and as did I. It's my favorite Sunday of the year. If you are visiting for the first time or have been recently visiting, I'd love the privilege of meeting you after the service. Please don't leave without that opportunity given to me. I would love it. Also, we have a team of people on the other side of the bridge who will welcome you at our welcome table, and they have materials that they can give to you and answer any questions you may have about the church. I have a lot of announcements this morning, so you might want to take a look at the inserts as well. You can always follow up on announcements on the church website, especially on the happenings pages. But next Saturday, we have a half-day centering prayer retreat, and really encourage you to take a look at that. It's in the afternoon this time. It's 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock. Please call or pre-register. That really helps us in our preparing for the retreat. You can also register online or just call the church office. And we are doing the Glorious Impossible again this year. It's been a church tradition for a very long time, and you can participate in that if you'd like. We actually are asking for your help to participate in that, and there's a sign-up table on the other side of the bridge as well. That will be on Thursday, December 20th at, I believe, 7 o'clock in the evening. We're also in need of some nursery volunteers who are willing to serve once a month during this service to be baby whisperers or to help with the children that are coming. And you could contact Miss Deborah or just call the church office if you're interested. And we have a screening process by which we go through. Also, today, following the service, at 1 o'clock, we have a community movie. It's called American Visionary, The Life of Barbara Max Hubbard, who is really a visionary in the spiritual world and community, and represents the feminine energy of that spiritual leadership that Deepak Chopra and others have brought to our culture in the last 20 or 30 years. 1 o'clock, everyone's welcome in the fellowship hall. I want to remind you, I did tell you there were a lot of announcements. I want to remind you that we are celebrating the life of Father Thomas Keating on Sunday, November 18th at 1 o'clock right here. There'll be a special movie, hopefully we'll be able to watch it right here, that Contemplative Outreach has put together. And we would love for everyone to participate. This is not just for the CCH community. It's for all who have been touched by Father Thomas Keating and the Contemplative Outreach resource and centering prayer in general. There's an insert for the Pine Ridge Reservation. It's been years that the church has been supporting the Native American Indians, the Sioux Indian tribe on Pine Ridge Reservation in North Dakota. It's one of the coldest places on the planet. And over the years, it's been discernment to say the best way we can support these people is to financially bless them by buying propane and firewood. So Brother Donald takes the gifts that are offered, a check, just write that on there, Pine Ridge. We take all that money, all those funds collected for this, and we buy propane from local vendors up there and buy firewood from local vendors up there, so we support the community. And that way we have a sense of accountability as well to make sure the right people, the most needy people, are getting the firewood and the propane. And also, you don't want to miss the annual potluck for Thanksgiving Day. It's been a tradition here that Tim and Barbara have hosted that event. We're going to continue it, but we're amping it up a little bit. We're going to have special music and some poetry reading through the time. It starts at 11:30. Doors open at 11:30 on Thanksgiving Day, and we'll conclude around 1:30. So there's a sign-up sheet for those of you who would like to bring food on the kitchen door. You can just sign up to help set up or clean up and bring food. It'd be wonderful to have a church family experience on that Thanksgiving Day. I know it's meaningful for a lot of people who don't have family and who need a place to go, who just love this church family so much they'd like to celebrate that day in a very conscious way. It's a no-alcohol event this year, and really wish for the greatest joy to be experienced by all of us, and I look forward to being there, and I won't bring any turkey. It would be dry. That is all the announcements I have. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your presence here. Let's take a moment in the silence and just connect with why you're here. What do you wish for from our experience together today? And ask to be blessed and ask for those beside you to be blessed as well from our time today. Amen.
And pray in us.
Let's stand and give our hearts to song as we sing the gospel in One Word is Love. Most gracious and loving Creator God of the heavens and the earth, giver of this and every moment, you shape our souls for deep connection with you. We thank you that drawn here together, we can feel this connection come alive, be awakened more fully. We ask that your Holy Spirit would move in each of our lives, would activate the fruit of the Spirit of love, of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, of goodness, that your center would consume us with love, that your love and light would flow through each of our lives and bless this world, and that this church would be given wings to bless this world, that your word would feed us deeply through the silence, and that this Eucharist would take away everything in us that is in need of your healing, in need of your grace, and bring to it the power of your presence. We ask these things with shared devotion and intention, knowing that you are with us even when we're not with ourselves. Help us to come into our bodies in this day of worship, to receive this gift, and to share it with one another, those we're holding hands with this at moment. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, God immanent, the holy living Trinity. Amen.
Please join with me in listening for God's word. Our reading today is taken from Romans chapter 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love.
We begin a series that will help us, like a GPS, hone in on the work, ministry, life, witness of Bernadette Roberts. Now, some of you may not know who I'm talking about when I say the name Bernadette Roberts, but if you hang around here, you will know. And we need to know. And we need to keep Bernadette's witness and life and teaching alive in us. And we are going to have what I hope to be a most profound community enrichment on January 12th and 13th. Perhaps a historic conversation with three of Bernadette's closest, dearest friends. And she would never want them to say this, her closest, dearest students or disciples, but she would never want us to say that. They were her dear friends. And they will be here, God willing. We will have a panel discussion on Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon. Sunday afternoon, Tim and Barbara will join the panel, and they will reflect on how personally Bernadette Roberts was an occasion for God's grace in their lives. Not trying to lift up Bernadette, she would not want that at all, but to tell the story of how this human being was an occasion for God's grace and wisdom in their lives. And I look forward to those stories. You've heard a lot of Tim and Barbara's, but you haven't heard the other three people. So this sermon focus for until Advent is a way of gesturing to you the value that I place on that gathering. And it is a way of communicating to you the valuation I have for Bernadette Roberts' works and ideas. And I don't by any means think that I understand Bernadette completely. But what I do know is that for the last 10 years or so that I have been reading and interacting with Bernadette, that what I didn't understand 10 years ago, I now understand. And that developmental understanding keeps growing. So when I was on the retreat just 2 weeks ago, I was reading this book word by word, and I realized something, that things that I had struggled with the last time I read it, I didn't struggle with it anymore. It dovetailed, and I understood, and it's like beautiful Russian doll mysteries opening up one after the other, and I began to realize that I'm growing in my experience of God, and therefore I'm catching up to Bernadette in her understanding what she's trying to say. Now, Bernadette Roberts is not altogether the easiest person to read, but she is extraordinarily clear and never once really contradicts herself. Any contradiction you might find in her books is probably related to your or my awareness of understanding. Now, there are all sorts of typographical errors in her books. We're trying to fix that little by little. There are all sorts of little inconsistencies in wording. But when it comes to the big ideas, the truths that she's trying to convey, she never once contradicts herself. And she deepens our understanding, if you're willing to go with her, in definitions of great importance. For example, we'll talk about a few of them today. God. What does God mean? What is that? What are we talking about when we use that word? Christ. What does that mean? Consciousness. What do we mean by these words? Self. Now, Bernadette is a master teacher, and if you give her the patience and give her the time to read her books, you will discover that you are being deeply fed and taught. Now, this book has got the whole kitchen sink, everything in it, everything you need, everything I need to understand the spiritual journey from a Christian perspective. It's not in the bookstore, but it will be. Many of you have the spiral-bound version of this collection of essays. We rushed to get this published before she died. We rushed, so it's being revised. But, you know, this book, if there's one book to read of Bernadette's, it's this one. This is an entree to the writings and understanding of what Bernadette was teaching. What experiences Bernadette had. I'd start right here. And I'll be reading from it in just a little bit. I want to start with two letters, which I think give context. And I really don't want this to be a seminar format, but I don't know how to go about doing this without at some level going deeper into her ideas. So one way I thought about doing this was to just keep it really personal and say, why is this important to me? Why is Bernadette important to me? Why is this conversation important to me? And hopefully, hope you'll get a sense of why it is and why I believe it's important for us. So this is from a handwritten letter from Bernadette to Tim Cook. Tim had started writing her in 1987. The earliest letter I could find is April of 1987. That's 31 years ago. So this letter was written in response to a letter that Tim sent to Bernadette, inviting her to come to participate in some sort of blessing of their new building, not this building. Anyone know where you would have been in 1987, autumn? Steck? So Tim had invited Bernadette to come for the dedication of the Steck sanctuary. What?
The bank building.
The bank building. Okay, not Steck, the bank building. This church moves around. The bank building. Anyway, so she says, no, I can't come. But also, what she does is, like she always does, she gives you a lot more. And I'm going to read to you her response to Tim's invitation to come and be with the church. In one sense, however, I'll be with you. What a church is a meeting of God and man. Now, I'm not going to change all the times she says man, but understand that Bernadette was of an older generation that wasn't gender inclusive. So when she says man, we mean humankind, okay? What a church is a meeting of God and man, or that place where they come together. The external place or building is a manifestation of that mystical place. And what a beautiful manifestation. It is a that place or building is a manifestation of that mystical place, a place that is not only within but without, a place that ultimately turns out to be heaven itself. A dedication of a church is therefore an outward manifestation of our mutual dedication to God, our life of oneness, and our pursuit of heaven. A true church is where all meet and come together in God, not only in a particular time and place, but eternally. A true church is really a piece of heaven on earth. I know how this works. I have a very lofty and mystical view of what a church is, and thus I fully appreciate your dedication. In this matter, I am totally one with you, one with the true church. When you think about it, your Austin group is repeating the same phenomena whereby the first church came into existence. By examining your deepest motives, intuitions, and attractions, you discover the authentic meaning of church, or what a church really is. When we forget this deep, profound meaning, a church loses its significance and lacks on all kinds, and takes on all kinds of extraneous definitions. May God save us from becoming just another church. I'd rather go somewhere else if that happens. And I play a big part in holding a wish that that doesn't happen. So do you hear why this is so important to me? I don't want to be the guy on whose watch we just became another church. And it's the easiest thing in the world. It's the easiest thing in the world to happen. It's the easiest thing in the world to just become a pastor. It's the easiest thing in the world to just become a church and to not be on the journey. So why are you here? What are we doing here? When we forget this profound meaning, a church loses its significance and takes on all kinds of extraneous definitions. As a meeting or union of God and man, Church is both our home on earth and our home in heaven. By the time you get this letter, Tim, it will be November 1st, the Feast of All Saints Day, which was Friday this year. The celebration of those in heaven, those who have attained eternal nirvana, so to speak. All Saints is the heavenly church, the mystical place of perfect eternal oneness. In all this, I am one with you, one in the church that can only be one. I will be thinking of you all on your special day of dedication. I could not really be absent. 1987, November. And here we are. This church would not be here without Bernadette. Period. This church, Tim and Barbara, would not be the beings they are without Bernadette. As much as we love Father Thomas Keating, it is easy to neglect our mother because she is severe. And she comes across sometimes harsh, hard to understand. But there is nothing that Bernadette has ever said to me, or that I have ever written, that when I've thought about it and really listened, wasn't true. Even the harshest things she said to me. Bernadette has been ignored by the church, her church, the Roman Catholic Church. She was scoffed by the Buddhists. She was totally by the Hindu community. But rare mystics within each of those communities, the Buddhist and the Hindu, saw what she was talking about and befriended her. But it is the very minority. Christianity, any leaders that I am aware of, have disparaged Bernadette and called her a heretic. It's the easy thing to do. But she, I deeply believe, and I'm going to say this with courage, but Bernadette's witness and what she had to say, the profundity of it, the newness of it, has not been repeated and hadn't happened, I think, since the time of Jesus. In other words, her revelation, what she was bearing forth to us, was on par with the radicalness, the evolutionary movement of what Jesus was doing to Jewish monotheism, what Bernadette is doing to Christianity. Her revelation and teaching and what she understood and what she experienced is profound. Now, so here's a letter from November 2016, 2 years ago. This was a personal letter she gave to me. It was on my door at New Camaldoli when we were there in 2016. And Tim, Barbara, and her dear friend Ramesh, who will be here in January, we were all there to connect with Bernadette and to be on retreat. Not with her, but just to be there. Bernadette was really coming into the fullness of her disease, which was kind of like a Lou Gehrig's disease. And she had a neck brace that she had made for herself to keep her neck from falling down. And so we all got this letter, and I'm going to read it to you. To my friends, Tim, Barbara, Peter, and Ramesh, I do not like writing this, yet it is important for you to know why I can no longer speak to you. For the last 5 to 6 months, I have been in survival mode. The body's literally falling apart. Notice she didn't say my body. The body's falling apart. This disease is a disconnection between nerve and muscle, such that the usual muscles we use, say to eat, chew, swallow, and form words or speak, are not working. It feels as if the face has become a kind of iron mask. Worst of all, however, I can no longer hold my head up. The effort to do so is like trying to go against gravity. It cannot be done. This fact affects the entire body, especially when walking, stooped, that is. I cannot look straight ahead, nor above or below the line of stooped eye line, which means no longer walking with security or even without pain. Then she has a little footnote, and the footnote says this: though used to living with no experience of any bodily center of gravity, that is, the demise of self or oneness with God, yet this disease gravity business is not only without a center or point of reference, the body seems to be searching for something solid to hang on to, yet there's absolutely nothing. Nothing physical one can rely on. All that is over with. Although the list of my debilities goes on, one loss after another, I think this is enough for you to have some idea of why I cannot talk to you. Saying any more would only be a waste of time, and there's nothing you can do about it anyway. I've done all the research, so I don't need your input or suggestions. I've been to doctors and received little help. Having recently moved, however, I will now be seeking help from a different medical group on my return home. Should I ever have any good news to report, I will certainly let you know. In the meantime, there is no use expressing how sorry you are about this or even praying for me, since neither can be of any help. Since only God can put the body together, only God can take it apart. No help is possible on this score. That I've lived this long is probably the biggest surprise of my life, and another miracle is not what I could ever have prayed for. What greatly bothers me now, however, is knowing that you people would like to speak to me and will be disappointed that you cannot. Since I've never been a listener, if I cannot talk back or respond, there's no use listening. Yet if you have anything important to tell me or a question to ask, write it down and I'll answer it. Quite apart from my silence, however, understand that just getting around takes everything I have left to manage life as it is. Everything taking great effort, leaving the body temporarily exhausted. That's how it goes. I have the peculiar sense that this body is fighting gravity. Gravity determines to shut it all down. All said, it will be significant that we spend our last hours together in the great silence of Kamaldoli. Without it, I'd never have come here in the first place, now 42 years in the running. That we are one in our need and love of the great silence is the secret grace and power of Kamaldoli. This is its foundation, what it has to give, and what it continues into in eternity. That was 2 years ago this week, and almost a year before she died, on November 26, 2017. Don't you find it interesting that Bernadette died and Father Thomas died within less than a year? I'm still pondering that, what it means for us. So, these ideas are for everyone. You don't have to be anywhere on the spiritual journey to read this book. What you take from it will depend on where you're at in your journey. So, I'm very comfortable reading this out loud publicly, knowing that many of us are at different places. All we can do is just really jump in with Bernadette. So let's jump in with the big question, what is God? One of the great things that Bernadette Roberts has given to us is the idea of the successive revelations of God moving toward or evolving toward the ultimate revelation, which is the Trinity. And she didn't stop there. She did something that very few theologians have ever done, putting that all together, that developmental movement of the revelations of God. She went one step further and she said, that revelation is what our journeys recapitulate. And in this one theory, it was like all the codes of a 12-code lock just opened up for me. I was like, that's it. There's the evolutionary development of the revelations of God throughout human history, laid down kind of like from the beginning of time as you go and see rock formations cut out on 360. You can see the farther down you go, the lower in time you're going, the farther back in time you're going. So there's that developmental revelation of God, and then each of our journeys replicate that, moving to the most mature possibility of understanding God. So we're all at one of these places, but her understanding of God is really extraordinary in that she starts with saying that God is revealed in nature everywhere. That's this fundamental pantheism. Then she says that God is revealed in human beings. That's that revelation of Hinduism, thou art that. That understanding that there's something about us that's divine, the revelation of the immanence of God in each of us. So there you've got huge sections of this planet. Nature religion, the omnipresence of God in all things, God in human beings. And then the big revelation was God transcendent, which happened somewhere in the 2500 BC, 3000 BC range, culminating in Judaism, that God is holy and high, the lawgiver, who created everything, who judges everything. And so much of Christianity is built upon that level of revelation of God being transcendent. But Jesus was the developmental evolutionary movement forward to reveal the union of all the prior revelations of God, God transcendent, God omnipresent, God immanent. And the Holy Spirit helps us understand that God immanent thing. So Bernadette's understanding of the Trinity came by way of her own personal experiences of Christ, trying to understand what was this experience of Christ that she had. She went back and reworked her understanding of the Trinity. So here's a little section from on page 49 of this book, her The Christian Contemplative Journey, Essays on the Path. And this begins to make the turn from the revelations of God to our own spiritual journey. So this is really, you can't ask a bigger question than this. What is God? We have already seen that God's triune revelations were around long before Christ came on the scene. All of the three main ones, omnipresent, immanent, and transcendent, were revealed before Christ came on the scene. There's nothing heretical about that. That's true. Although Christ brings these revelations together, it cannot be said he revealed God to us. God had already been revealed to humankind. Rather, what Christ revealed to us was man himself, was humankind, human nature itself. Thus, Christ revealed man's essential oneness with God, our path to God, and man's ultimate destiny with and in God. In short, Christ reveals God's plan for us from the beginning to end. Christ reveals what man is to God, how much man means to God, and how God wants us to live with God on earth and in heaven. Thus, it could even be said that the primary focus of Christianity is not on the revelation of God per se, but rather on the revelation of man. The center of this focus, of course, is the incarnate Logos Christ. So, Christ begins to reveal something of what we become, or what we can become, or what we're intended to become. And obviously a big part of that process is this thing she calls self and consciousness. So, you cannot be in relationship with God apart from at first having a self. And that self needs to be developed, but that self isn't, she's basically saying, doesn't need to stick around for the whole journey. It gets you there, and then we're invited to let it go. Now, I'm going to read from her essay, Cessation of Self. This is on page 72 and 73, and we'll begin to hear something of the nuance of what she's talking about. She's going to be talking about realized self, and that is the Hindu understanding of what Christians understand as the divine union, or the unitive state. So when she says realized self, just hear the unitive state. Although modern psychology has raised our consciousness regarding the difference between ego and the true self, that is a good development psychologically, the difference between the ego and the true self, we are still a long way from understanding the difference between the falling away or transcendence of the ego self and the much later event, the falling away of the true self, or the divine center, and its oneness with the divine. That is, the falling away of the entire unitive state or the realized condition. Now, this is what Bernadette has given to us that no one else has given in human history, as far as I can tell, with such clarity. Few of the mystics have hinted to it in passing, but she has written books about it. This is why I say it's a new revelation, and a new revelation to ponder and to really take it in. What is she saying? What does this mean for us? So, until we can get a hold of this difference, the difference between the falling away of the ego, which begins the unitive state, and the falling away of the unitive state, which is the true self, what is united is the divine with the self. And when that goes away, there is nothing left except what she's describing is a certain awakeness, a certain presence that is non-conscious, not reflecting on itself. She still existed very well without that self, without that consciousness. What that is, we'll talk more about next week. Come back for more. Part of the problem is that no one can identify either the ego self or the true self until it has fallen away. So much of the spiritual journey is after the fact. Oh, now I understand. It is only in retrospect we recognize the old immature or superficial self and its egoic contractions, recognize it in contrast to the true self and the divine union that we have entered into. By the same token, no one can know the ultimate nature of the true self so long as they are living it. No one can know the ultimate nature of the true self, the divine union, so long as you're in it, so long as you're living it. It is only when the true self or the divine union state falls away that its ultimate nature is known by its absence. With this disclosure, the true nature of the self is revealed as everything we experience, the psyche, the entire system of consciousness, man's entire dimension of experiencing and knowing, including one's experiences of the divine. As it turns out, the divine or absolute is beyond the experiencing self or consciousness. As it turns out, the divine, God, absolute, is beyond the experiencing self or consciousness. Until both of these events have been encountered, however, it would be impossible to get hold of the difference between the two. And not only impossible, Bernadette told me very specifically that perhaps not everyone needs to know or experience this. That perhaps the no-self state isn't for this world, and I tend to agree with her. But that it was revealed and it has been given to her, at least, to help us get off the spiritual addict model, which feeds the self through spirituality, that keeps inflating the self through all the spiritual goodies that we get, and that there's nothing closer to the self than spirituality. It's so funny to see people get turned on to God, and 2 weeks later they want to be ministers. Why? Well, part of it is they love that energy. They feel so alive and awake. But also because the ego is hooking into the spiritual journey. And thus the spiritual journey, which we'll be talking about in weeks to come, is a big thing for us to understand so we don't fall into the normal, ordinary pitfalls. We'd want to know from someone who's been all the way. And we can be teachers, one to the other, because we're all at different places on the journey. But the biggie for Bernadette Roberts, the real biggie, is that number one, God's grace works in your life early on, drawing to you, calling to you, giving you certain indications. You have experiences as a little kid, as a mystic, or whatever. Some of us have a certain sense of conversion where we give our life over to God, and we have this movement of transformation where we're trying to live a different way. Live in relationship to God more. Live in relationship to certain practices or the rules or scripture. And this happens early on in childhood and adolescence. But then there's a moment where the ego can blow out, where the center of one's being is no longer one's ego, one's I-ness. And that ego blowout, which many of you have experienced, initiates the unitive state. It doesn't just happen all at once, it's a boring out. And so what this means is that another ridgepole is supporting your life. No longer the ego dynamic, but the center of God, which is Christ. The union of you and God, which is Christ. That is the new pole in your life, the new center of your life. That's the ego blowout. And many, 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 many people experience that. Not just in Christianity, in every tradition of the world. Suffering will do that. Trauma will do that. All sorts of experiences and practices will blow out the ego, where the center of your life isn't just yourself anymore. It's you and God, and you know it. And nothing can take that away. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ, is one way St. Paul said it. I, no longer I, but Christ in me. These are ways in which we can talk about it. But then there is the further journey, which leads to the blowout of the whole self. And that's what Bernadette is trying to draw the distinction between, and where there's a lot of confusion. Because many traditions think that what Bernadette is talking about with the no-self blowout is the no-ego blowout. And she goes to great pains, great effort, books and writings, to tell the difference between the two. So why does this matter? And I know, reading is sometimes not the best way to communicate, but I got something so deep and rich on retreat. And this is from page 252 and 253, and I'll conclude with this. Why is this so important? Because it's really about our personal day-to-day lives. It's about our willingness to keep growing and going and letting God consume us, transforming us into Christ, evolving as Christ, that the divine union is consuming us more and more and more and more. And it's so easy to resist that process. So take this in. Paradoxical though it may seem, the passage through consciousness or self moves contrary to self, rubs us the wrong way, and in the end we'll even rub it out if we let it. Because this passage goes against the grain of self, it is therefore a path of suffering. Both Christ and Buddha saw the passage as one of suffering, and basically found identical ways out, hook up to the divine center. What they discovered and revealed to us was that each of us has within ourselves a still point, comparable perhaps to the eye of a hurricane, a center of calm, imperturbability, and non-movement. Buddha articulated this central eye in negative terms as emptiness or void, a refuge from the swirling hurricane of endless suffering in life. Christ articulated the I in more positive terms, calling it the kingdom of God or the spirit within, a place of refuge and salvation from the suffering self. For both of them, Buddha and Christ, the easy way out was first to find that still point, the divine center, and then, by attaching themselves to it, becoming one with it, to find a stabilizing, balanced anchor in our lives. After that, the hurricane is gradually drawn into the eye, and the suffering self comes to an end. The hurricane bands are equated to the self in this analogy, and they're getting eaten by the center as the center consumes it. And when there no longer is a hurricane, then there is also no longer an I. When everything is going our way, we don't see the I. We don't need to see the still point, the divine center. We feel no need to find it. But when something is going against us, when the bands of the hurricane are buffeting us, we need to find the I. So it turns out the avoidance of suffering and the desire to have everything go our way runs contrary to the whole movement of the spiritual journey. With the right view, however, one should be able to come to the state of divine union in 6 or 7 years. And many of you are. These are years not merely of suffering, but also years of enlightenment. For right suffering is the essence of enlightenment, because self is everyone's experience underlying all culture. I do not regard cultural wrong views as an excuse for not searching out right views. After all, each person's passage is his or her own. There is no such thing as a collective passage. So it's the easiest thing in the world to want to be in peace and to escape from the world, to hide in the monastery. Bernadette says the reason why she thinks so many of the monks who are in the unitive state don't move to the no-self state is because there's no hurricane in their lives. It's too easy in the monastery. Go out into the marketplace and feel the bands. Feel where the divine center ends and the hurricane begins, and let it consume you. So the spiritual journey is using our suffering, using our pain, using our relationships, using our work, using our politics, using our culture, using everything in the world but not of it, to show us where the divine center in us ends and our friction begins, where the self begins. It's like throwing dust into the window and then you can see where the light beam is. Life shows you your edge, shows you where the divine center, where your edge of the divine center is. And until it keeps showing you something, until it consumes you, there's more work to be done, more consenting, more letting the center consume you. I think probably the no-self state isn't for this life, for most people. But I think the invitation is to keep letting go. Into thy hands I commit my being. Keep letting go through the suffering, through the relationships, through the situations of life. Because who knows what God is doing with the community that seeks to be heaven on earth. The divine center, a model of what the spiritual journey is in Christian terms. Well, this is good. Heavy, maybe, but true, real. This ain't just church. There are plenty of other churches on this road if you'd like to have something different. But we'll be sticking with Bernadette till Advent, so I understand if you don't come back. I hope you do, though, for your own joy and for the goodness of what it means to be in community on this journey together. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
Give me your spirit. center, O love of my life. You are the center, you are my life. You are the center, O love of my life. Give me your spirit and teach me your ways. Give me your peace and set me free. You are the center, you are my life. You are the center, O love of my life. You are the center, you are my life. You are the center, O love of my life. Give me your spirit and teach me your ways. Give me your peace and set me free. You are the center, you are my life. You are the center, O Lord of my life. You are the center, O Lord of my
We begin a new tradition today in our church, remembering our beloveds in Christ who have died and gone into Christ and into heaven. There's an insert in the bulletin. And these are all the ones, our beloveds, that we are aware of. There probably are others, but these are the ones that came into the office to remember today. We're catching up for the past 30 years. So these are all our beloveds who have passed from this community or connected to this community. And those that have passed since I began last November, 2017 and 2018. I take these names as I speak them into my heart, and I invite you to do the same, remembering their face and their being among us. Ian August, Joyce Bauer, Thomas Vendelini, Nelly, Mitzi Best, Ali Bixos, David Blakey, Susan Bolden, Father Joseph Boyle, Bill Browder, Troy Brose, Marilyn Buck, Louis Bullard, Dylan Kroll, Brian Crummer, Kate Davenport, Michelle Edmondson, Judy Dalton Green, Susan Dayton, Phyllis Dayton Green, Doris and Bill Dejeuner, La Luz Gerald, Virginia Horseman, June Jeffers, Father Thomas Keating, Bill McLennan, Terry Moore, Bob Rader, Jean Rice, Bernadette Roberts, Doug Sanders, Matilda Stamps, Lance Truitt, Arnell Travada, Gordon Von Miller, Patsy Wade, Joe Yurko, Jim Brewer, and any others you remember in the silence at this time. As a witness to life in Christ, we light this Christ candle. As a symbol to eternal life that our beloveds are in, and the life that they share with God. Let us pray. Lord of life and death, today we remember the deaths and lives of these loved ones, whose lives touched ours and added to the richness of our community. We pause to recall the good times and all that we experienced together. We are grateful that these are imperishable treasures which we carry into eternity. Within the mystery of your divine plan, our life pathways have come together. We are grateful today. Lord of compassion, grant peace to all who suffer today, all who are dying, all who are dead. Gracious living God, we lift up these prayers, these names, this experience into your love. Prepare us for our own deaths and to live in light of them. In Christ we pray. Amen. And now let us take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands, and remembering the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs, I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's remember this truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. We bless these tithes, gifts, and offerings. to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on this planet, over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ. Amen.
Let us now rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. Please join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
This is the divine center of the eye, of stillness, of presence, and it comes to each of us to take away our burdens and to heal us, and to transform us into Christ. I was at the Tibetan Buddhist temple on 45th Street yesterday afternoon with Billy, and I learned that in the Buddhist tradition they have something called an object of refuge that you come to for help, for relief. And I like that idea very much, that the Eucharist is an object of refuge. But I'd like to shift it just a little and call this objective refuge. This is objective refuge. There's nothing that you can do to prevent yourself from being touched by it, healed by it, made whole by it. It's objective. It doesn't depend upon anything you think, feel, say, do, believe about it. It's objective refuge. It's pure grace. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
this bread. Now I drink this cup. Now I eat this bread. Now I drink this cup and remember.
Remember.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with song. We thank you for this blessed life we're living together. We ask that the Holy Spirit would infill each of us, take us deeper into the center, and transform us into love. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace and presence of the Holy Spirit be with each of you until we meet again. Amen.